Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
For the incredible things, for the life-changing things that you have done for me. Thank you, Lord, for 25 years of preaching. Thank you that this is my 25th anniversary of preaching your gospel. Thank you for seeing something, oh God, in me that you wanted to use for your glory. They called me chocolate drop. You called me woman of God. They called me that girl from Oakland. And you called me that daughter of your kingdom. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for using me. And now, Holy Spirit, speak a word to your sons and your daughters. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. We love you, we bless you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. I just have to take a moment and thank God for the men who aren't afraid to worship God in the house of God on today. I thank God for your worship. It sounds so wonderful to hear men worship God. Hallelujah. This is Champions Family. Amen. We praise God for you all being here today. We praise God for you. Amen. You have been a blessing to us. Hallelujah. God said, can we get to the word now? God said to Haggai, once more, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will fill this house with glory. And the glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. I don't know about you, but that sounds like good news to me. Because if he said it to Haggai, he said it to Abundant Life Ministries as well. Now, I don't know if you know the history of your church, but we started out in an art gallery. We moved to my mother's basement. We then moved to a hair salon, and then we moved to a business park. After that, we took up residence in a built-out warehouse. We were there for a while, and then God moved us. He shifted us. He transitioned us into a place that used to be a group home, and at one time it was also a home for senior citizens. After that, we were homeless for a little while. We were in recreational centers and wherever we could be to have worship. Amen. Are you still with me? And then the Lord began to bless us to share buildings with people. We were with Bay Area Christian Connection for a while. Isn't that right? And then after that, we were with Agnes Memorial for a little while. And now the Lord has given us the opportunity for the first time to be in a theater. And in next month, he's going to move us for the very first time into a building that was built to be a church. It took 15 years for God to move us into a building that was created to be a church. Why would God wait 15 years? Because we are the church. And wherever we are, the church is. And he needed Abundant Life Ministries to know that we can worship anywhere. A parking lot, a beach, a home, a backyard, we will worship anywhere because we are the church. God promised us that we would be a vast ministry. He told us we would lose hundreds and we would gain thousands. He promised us that it's not over until we win. And if we haven't won yet, then what is it? Well, it's not over yet. He just recently told us that he's working it all out for our good. And if we don't see the good yet, then hang on, because the good is on the way. I'm trying to tell you, God has a vision for this church. He's calling for his sons and daughters to return to him in a church for the 21st century. So many churches, unfortunately, are stuck in the 20th century. But we're not in the 20th century anymore. We can't do things the way our grandmama did it and expect people to come off the street and partner with a ministry. We've got to be able to meet the people where they are. Amen. God has given us so many things to reflect on and to be proud of in these past 15 years. I'm telling you, people have gotten healed from diseases. Barren wombs have been made fertile. God has delivered people from homosexuality, from drug addiction, from cigarettes, from fornication, from laziness, from rebellion. God has been in the delivering business for the past 15 years. God has made miracles happen in these past 15 years. Nika just had to leave, but she has a testimony about how she was waiting at a bus stop on her way to church, and this woman fell down and died right in front of her. She began to pray for this woman, lay hands on her, and that woman rose from the dead right in front of her. God is still in the miracle working business in the 21st century. And there's nothing my God cannot do. God has grown people up into preachers, even pastors. He's prepared people to take his word into the world because of their commitment, not to the church, but to the Father. He has done great things in the lives of individuals and families in this ministry. People have met their intended in this ministry. They've gotten married in this ministry. They've had families. They've made families in this ministry. I'm trying to tell you, there is relevance for Abundant Life Ministries in the 21st century. And today God is posturing us for growth. He's preparing us to go to levels that we have never been before. He's preparing us to be able to do things for the kingdom that will touch people in the world that we have never done before. But God says there's a few things that we've got to be able to do. And some of the things that he's been talking to us about of late is we got to show up. Let that sink in. I'm going to even let it sink into the empty seats. We got to show up. Then God says we got to grow up. It's time to be spiritually mature. It's time to stop suckling on that milk, and it's time to eat that spiritual food that is for those of us that are ready to walk, run, and fly in his name. God says it's time for us to go up. It's time to stop being complacent and mediocre, and time to move to these next levels that God is waiting for us to get to if we could step outside of ourselves. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but the church, in order to get to kingdom, has got to have relationships. Righteousness is to be in right relationship with God. You already know that. But servitude is to be in right relationship with each other. And spiritual maturity is to be in right relationship with ourselves. The church is called many things by many different people. For some, we're a refuge. a Holy Ghost headquarters, a worship center, a place to learn and grow. For others, it's to become evangelists. For others, it's to become community leaders. The church is many things for many people. But before we can spread kingdom into the world, because God says, take my word into the world, but he says there's something that we absolutely must be. Which is why today, on our 15th anniversary, I'm going to be coming to you from the theme, We Are a Family. We are a family. Now turn to three people and just tell them, we are a family. Amen. Three people. Three. Not 13. Our theme for the year is what? Taking his word. We are 6 months in and y'all still not sure about the theme? Lord have mercy. Get to Bible study. Taking his word to the world is the theme for the year. And since you having a hard time even quoting it, then I doubt sincerely if you taking it out there. But there's still time. Amen. There's still time to get it together and to get it right. If you heed the voice of the Lord today, you might leave here taking somebody his word to the world. We're going to be in Acts today. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse, we're going to start with verse 42. Amen. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. I'll be reading from the New International Version, and the heading says, hold on, my technology won't act up on me. The heading says, the fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all of the people, and the Lord added to their number daily. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Hallelujah. Now this is the model that Jesus left for his disciples. This is exactly how Jesus taught the disciples to have church, but beyond to have it, to be it. There are certain things that we must do in order to be the church, in order to take his word to the world. First of all, we've got to be willing to be taught. They committed themselves, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That means they sat at the apostles' feet and they listened to what the apostles had to say. Why did they listen to the apostles? Because the apostles used to be the 12 disciples and they spent 3 years with Jesus, so they had something to teach. When you have experienced the Lord for yourself, when you have had an encounter with the Lord for yourself, you have something to teach somebody else. You've got something to let them in on that they may not know about God for themselves. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. When you devote yourself to the teaching, that means you trust that the teaching is sound. You trust that the teaching is true. You value the teaching, and you try to get others to come and get some of the teaching, which is why they were added to their numbers daily. Teaching. Somebody say teaching. In order to grow up in Christ, we have to be taught who he is. It's not enough to just know him as our Savior. It's good news to know that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead and we're saved, that's good news, amen? That gives us an eternal, confidence. That we know we're saved and we're going to stay saved because Jesus died for us to be saved. But there's a whole other thing that we need to get up on, and that's how to live that salvation out. That's where the teaching comes in. And, you know, the children of God don't value teaching enough. Some people think as long as I get a word on Sunday, that's all I'm gonna need to make it through the week. But you don't realize that you've been under the enemy's teaching Monday through Saturday, based on what you're listening to, based on what you're looking at, based on the company that you keep, and based on the actions that you are doing with other people. Now, who are you a reflection of? Because the teaching that you have will let others know who you are listening to. You can look at your own self in the mirror and ask yourself the question, who do I look like based on the teaching? You know, I don't know, some of y'all not old enough for this, but when you get to a certain age, especially when you start having kids, you find yourself saying stuff that your parents said, and you thought you would never say that. Like, I sound like my mama. I didn't want to sound like her. But you find, okay. They don't know. They're too young for it. But you're going to get there one day, and you're going to start sounding like your parents. That's when you're going to come to the reality, oh, you are getting old. Okay. Because now I'm seeing the wisdom that my parents were trying to instill in me. I'm trying to put it in my children. Because there's teaching that went on in our homes, and we become a reflection of the teaching that we are receiving. So I really want you to question yourself and ask yourself, whose teaching have I been receiving? Because my actions are letting the teaching be made known. Did God tell you to smoke? Did he tell you to drink? Did he tell you to lie, cheat, steal, fornicate? Did he tell you to stop tithing? Did he tell you to stop coming to church, to stop coming to Bible study? I don't know how many more sermons we have encouraging folk to come and get some teaching. Because God is preparing us for a place he desires for us to go, but we have to grow into it in order to receive it. Does anybody get that yet? Does anybody understand that God is waiting for us to grow into the blessings that he has promised us? And we can't get it just because two or three of us are ready. My hand, my foot, and my knee is not enough for my body to be ready for where I need to go. The whole body has to be ready, which means we've got to be willing to be taught. And I don't understand why you don't want to be taught. I don't get why you don't want to learn. I don't understand why you would want to remain the same. Why would you want to get to next year this time and look back and see the same thing you saw the year before and the year before and the year before? I don't understand why that's something you would desire. Why not sit up under some teaching and learn what Jesus would do? Why wouldn't you want to know Jesus up close and personal for yourself. Why wouldn't you know? Why wouldn't you want to start to see miracles being done through you? Why wouldn't you want to start teaching the word of God to somebody else? Why are you constantly sitting up under somebody but not letting anybody sit up under you? He said, we are a family. And in order to be a family, we have to be willing to be taught. He said, we've got to be willing to fellowship with one another. Koinonia with one another. Fellowship is to enjoy one another's company. I'm not talking about a meeting. I'm not talking about the armor bearers having a meeting, us having a family meeting. I'm talking about us having fun with each other, laughing, enjoying each other's company, getting to know one another, learning what our likes and our dislikes are, finding what we have in common, and starting to grow with one another, because now we are ventured into a real relationship. There's not enough fellowship among the believers. There's not enough games that we play to get to know each other. There's not enough time that we spend that's quality outside of worship. And I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to let you in on something that God has made clear to not just me, but experts in church growth, that if we're willing to do what this passage says in Acts 2, the church will explode. Expand too. The expansion is the explosion. It will. If we're willing to do these simple things that we can enjoy doing in the first place. So we've got to set up opportunities for us to spend time with one another. We can go bowling. We can play. We can have game night. We can sit around and share stories with each other. There's a whole lot that we can do outside of what we're doing right now. Some people think fellowship is not important. They think fellowship is a waste of time. But how are you going to grow a ministry when you haven't taken the time to know who's a part of the ministry? Everybody want to get to know the pastor. You don't need to know me. You don't need to know me. You don't need to know my personal business. You don't need to know all those little things that are about me that are in my private life. You need to get to know each other. That's how a church grows. When everybody just want to know the pastor, the church is not going to grow. Because everybody trying to just be in relationship with the pastor. Now, I'm not accusing everybody of that, but that has been a pattern I've seen throughout these 15 years. There are those who think they should only be in relationship with me. When the truth of the matter is, sheep beget sheep. The sheep doesn't need to be a friend to the shepherd. But the shepherd has to be responsible to feed the sheep. But the sheep get one another to come in to the fold. And one way we can do that is through fellowshipping with one another. Does that make sense? Yesterday was my daughter's graduation. 30 people showed up. Somebody ought to say amen to that. 30 people showed up. I'm not talking about to the whole graduation. I'm talking about the people that showed up for her. 30 people showed up to celebrate Kayla Imani. Yeah, amen. Amen. It was a great and wonderful accomplishment. And then we had planned to go to Cheesecake Factory afterwards. And in fact, we did. And when we got there, the people that got there first to put our names on the thing found out it was going to be 2 hours before we would be seated. Now, we were already hungry at the point of the graduation. And so when they told us it was going to be 2 hours, at first there was a little hemming and hawing, and it was like, well, we'll go to Forever 21, we'll go do this, we'll go do that. Wasn't a whole lot of complaining because what began to happen was a fellowship that took place outside of the Cheesecake Factory. I'm telling you, we created a flash mob and did a dance in front of all the people that wanted to see. That was fellowship. We made good use of those 2 hours. Amen. We made great use of those 2 hours. And that's another thing. We don't ever have to be wasters of time. Because whenever two or more are gathered, there's opportunity for fellowship. There's opportunity to get to know one another, to enjoy one another, to talk about what Jesus has done for you. Because, I mean, it ought to be, if you're going to have a conversation with me, at some point, Jesus is coming up. He may not be the first thing out of my mouth, but I'm going to tell you, if we talk long enough, Jesus is coming up because he's just that important in my life. Not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a lover of God. Because he means that much to me. If you want to get to know me, you got to know I love me some Jesus. That's some good fellowship right there. When you start talking, sharing stories, swapping stories about Jesus, that's a great fellowship right there. It's a whole lot of other things we can be swapping stories about. Hallelujah. It's all right. It's a beautiful thing to value fellowship in the family of God. And then he goes on to say, we got to break bread with one another. Can I see a show of hands? Everybody love to eat. Keep it real. Love to eat. Hands, feet, stomach, whatever. We love to eat, don't we? The Bible says to eat with one another. That's wonderful. That's good news. We need to spend more time breaking bread with each other. Just as we must set up quality time to break bread with our family members, we must also make time to break bread with our spiritual family as well. There's all kinds of things that can be accomplished when we decide to share a meal. Who knows where the conversation will lead when we decide to share a meal? We might start off talking about how great the fried chicken is, but you never know. We might end up putting a plan together to revolutionize the city of Oakland. Who knows what can come about if we decide that we're going to spend intimate, because breaking bread is intimate. Because you know there's some people in your life you don't want to eat with. You know it is. It's not everybody. Not everybody is going to be blessed to be able to eat with you. But as the family of God, we have a responsibility to be able to eat, to break bread with one another. Why do you think the Lord is blessing us with a building that has not only a kitchen, but a dining hall, so that we can break bread with one another, so that we can spend time in an intimate way, getting to know one another, enjoying one another's company, fellowshipping with each other, so that we will be ready to do the work of God when God says go. Because, see, when we're not doing these things, we're busy doing other things. Backbiting, gossiping, being hypocritical, being overly critical, being judgmental, talking about people you don't even know. How you going to talk about somebody and you don't even know their story? Some of us don't even take out time to think about the fact that they have a story. We judge their whole entire being on one action that we did not like. You don't want anybody to do that to you. So why would you do it to somebody else? Take time to get to know their story and take time to let somebody know yours. Then there'd be more understanding in the family of God. We won't, yes, and more compassion. We won't be in the group that's like, oh, no, I'm not going to go and eat downstairs because sister so-and-so was there and, you know, we ain't speaking right now. That makes absolutely no sense to be in a church this size and you still got folk you not speaking to. Maybe you need to take time and break bread with that person and decide, I'm going to listen to what they have to say. And then after I listen to them, they're going to be open and listen to me. But after I've heard their story, I might change what I have to say. Because now there's understanding. Now there's compassion in the atmosphere. Break bread with somebody. Make time, take time to get to know who they really are, not who we think they are. And then the last thing is we have to be willing to pray. There is not enough prayer in the family of God. We can't just rely on the three or four to get together on Wednesday mornings on the phone and pray on behalf of the entire body. Haven't you heard little prayer, little power? More prayer, more power. There needs to be more prayer in this family of God. We need to fall in love with having communication with God. We need to value the fact that he has set it up for us to be able to communicate with him. I'm talking about the God of gods wants to have a conversation with us. I'm talking about the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the great I am, the God Almighty. He wants us to be able to go to him whenever we want to, and we don't have to go sit up in a confessional somewhere. We don't have to go and have a priest go on our behalf. We don't have to go into the temple courts because we are the covenant. We're the Ark of the Covenant, and we're now the Holy of Holies. Because he lives inside of me, wherever I am, his holiness is. And I can speak to him and I can hear from him if I just make time to do it. It's a travesty before God to utter the words, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time for a devotion. That is a travesty before God when you decide that the one who created you doesn't deserve any of your time. The one that blessed you with everything you think you value in this life, and you don't have time to say thank you. You don't have time to just glorify him because of his splendor and his majesty. You got time for everything and everybody else, from the TV to the club to your job to that man that ain't going to church that don't know Jesus. You got time for all of that. But when it comes to Jesus, oh, I got tired and fell asleep. Oh, I woke up too late. Then pray in the shower. Pray in your car. Pray while you're sitting at your job. Pray while you're waiting in line at the grocery store. Pray while you're at the post office. Pray while you're at Starbucks. You ain't got time not to pray. The sons and daughters of God need to open up their mouth and start praying wherever they go. Don't you know that will change the atmosphere wherever you are? You ought to get tired of talking bad about Oakland and start doing something about it. Just walk one block praying in the spirit and watch God move. You ain't even got to pray in English. You ain't even got to pray out loud. But walk your own block and pray and watch God bring about a change in the atmosphere. He will do it. If we would just believe. So for those of you, I ain't asking you to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to get on the mic and confess it. But you know who you are. You haven't been praying enough. God says it's time to get on your knees and give him the time that he deserves. because your life is what it is because there hasn't been enough prayer going forth in your life. I hear some of y'all blaming everybody else for why things are not the way you'd like them to be in your life. Stop looking on the outside and start looking on the inside, because you are the one that has the power to change what's going on in your life. So stop blaming the white man. Stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming your girlfriend, your boyfriend. Stop blaming whoever else and start taking responsibility for yourself. Because see, the thing about prayer is that we need to do more listening than we do speaking. Because see, when we get on the prayer line, we get to having an agenda. We got a little list of some things that we need God to handle and to take care of us. And we want to tell him exactly what time it needs to be done. God don't need your help. You need his help. That's the beauty of prayer. Not so you can help God. God, I mean, have you read your Bible lately? He didn't need help creating the heavens and the earth. He didn't need help building up man out of the dust, woman out of the rib. He didn't need help parting the sea. He didn't need help. We're the ones that need help. And we need help on a daily basis, because every day the devil is trying to help us go astray. Oh, you don't believe me? I'm trying to tell you, the devil every single day is trying to help us to go in the opposite direction of our Savior. So we need his help every day, moment by moment sometimes. How do we get his help? Through the power of prayer. Prayer does work. God does answer prayer. He will make a way out of no way. He will meet you right where you are. He will speak to you in the midnight hour. He will come in a language that you can understand. I'm trying to tell you, God just wants us to seek him. They say seek him and you'll find him. But how you gonna find something that's already there? You ain't got to find God. You just look in the mirror and see God for yourself. But if you're not willing to commit yourself to prayer, then there's something lacking in your relationship. I mean, you know, one of the main issues that married couples have is communication. I know this because I counsel them all the time. They have a problem or an issue being able to hear what one another has to say, because they're so busy trying to get their point across that they're not listening to what the point is that their mate or their spouse is making. But what if Champion and Dee Dee didn't speak to each other at all? What if Demaya and Mervin just did not talk to each other at all? What kind of relationship would they have? What if Chosen and Franco did not speak to each other? How can a relationship exist without communication? So now's the time to check your quality of relationship with your God. Now's the time to think about, how often do I actually speak to him? And even more importantly, how often do I listen? Am I in that group of people that says, I don't hear from God? You know, God speaks to some people, but God don't speak to me. When people say that ignorance to me, they don't realize what they're telling me is they can't shut up long enough to hear God. Some people need to shut up and then shut up shutting up. You know, some people be in the process of show. I'm going to shut up. I ain't going to say nothing else. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to hear what God has to. Shut up. Just shut up. And listen. Listen. Don't be coming up with that ridiculous, he don't speak to me. Yeah, he speaks to every single one of us every single day. But we don't listen. And then if we really are in tune and we know we've made a mistake, we've gone and done something that God hasn't told us to do, we'll go back and say, you know what? I did hear something. Something told me not to do it. Why not give God the credit? Why you gotta make God something? God ain't something. A rock is something. A car is something. A shoe is something. God is someone. So if you can't just say God with all the authority, at least give him the respect of saying someone told me something. You know you hear him and ignore him and deny him and decide we're going to do it our own way and then regret it later. I'm still talking about we are a family. We are a family, and we must institute as priority in our family life a willingness to be taught, fellowshipping with believers, breaking bread with one another, and prayer together. Start off on your own, but then let's get some corporate prayer jumping off. I wouldn't be mad if Friday night was prayer service at our new church. I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't even be mad if it was just two or three gathered together, because I know there's power as long as God is there. He is blessing us to do ministry, not to brag about it to anybody or to feel like we're better than somebody. I'm trying to tell you that there are some incredible results that will come about as a result of our commitment to those four mandates that God has given us. The first thing is that true relationships will develop as a result of those four mandates. If we pray together and eat together and fellowship together, if we are willing to do all of those things together, don't you know we will be more inclined to stay together? People are not going to jump up and get an attitude and leave so fast, because there's meaningful relationships that they would leave behind. So we need to pursue true relationships and not superficial relationships with one another. People, I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't want everybody to know my business. I don't want everybody to know my business. I'm not telling you to tell everybody your business. I'm saying get to know somebody. And you have a variety of degrees of relationships. Some people you'll be closer to than others, and that's okay. That's how it was set up. Peter, James, and John was in Jesus' inner circle, although he loved the other disciples just the same. He knew everybody couldn't handle his truth. You got to know who's able to handle your truth. Some of your truth is so deep, everybody can't handle it, so stop trying to tell everybody your truth. There'll be an increase in service. When we get to know each other, we'll start pulling out the best in each other. Because sometimes it takes somebody else to see what you can do for you to embrace it for yourself. Because we sit up there and we look at Minister Favor's gifts and Katrina's gifts and Joy's gifts, Reverend Tamara's. We look at all these gifts that are up here on the stage, and we don't realize how gifted we are in other areas. Just like Reverend Tamara was talking about earlier. And once we get to know each other, we'll start encouraging each other to do more to the glory of the Lord. Somebody sitting up there with a gift of evangelism, just to share your story, to witness to somebody else, and it'll draw them right on into Jesus. But you sitting on your story, because it don't sound like his story, her story, or their story. Embrace your story. You have one. And your story will draw them to Jesus. Somebody is sitting on some gifts of money management, where we trying to go to the next level in our finances, but we can only go so far because we got the people like me over the finances that's not gifted in finances. We need people that's gifted, that's got ideas to build it up. We need people that are committed to wanting the church to stay out of the struggle. You're sitting on some gifts that God is saying, I need you for my glory. Somebody's being called to preach, but you thinking, because nobody's been called for a long time now, you ain't even seen nobody come up here and profess a call. You don't know how it's done. So in your mind, you think you got to do what I do. This is 25 years right here. I wasn't doing this the first year in. I wasn't doing it June 1st, 1989. All I did was say yes. It was 6 months before I preached. And even then, it was scary. We'll leave it at that. But it was done because he said do it. We're calling out all these things because there's about to be some shifting in the ministry. Because you need to really understand that it's bigger than a building. Yeah, we went into a nice, wonderful building. Y'all got to come see us when we get into our new building. But it's not about the building. It's about the building. It's about this building. It's about who we decide we're going to be as a result of the blessings that we have received. Don't think you're going to be able to be who you were in the theater once we get into the new building. Because some of you are going to have to leave your theater attitude and mentality right here in the theater. Theater is for plays, and it's time to stop playing church. Somebody said the shift has already begun, as it should be, because God is doing a great thing, and it's time for us to fall in line with his flow and stop fighting against it and struggling against it when all God ultimately wants to do is bless us. That's ultimately what he wants to do. We are a family. And God has a vision for this ministry. No matter how big or small or wherever we've been, we've never been without vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. We have always had vision. God shows us where he wants us to be and where he intends for us to go. But here's the truth on the flip side is that the enemy, the devil, is always plotting against what God has promised. So if we stop listening and believing in the promises of God, we start participating in the plot of the enemy. I don't care if you get quiet or not. Because you about to get real quiet when I call some of y'all devil worshipers. Oh, you saved. The Holy Ghost is living on the inside of you, but you've been worshiping more of the devil than you have of God based on your behavior, based on your reality. And it's time to stop worshiping the devil when you belong to God. You know, it's like being a show-enough, die-hard, in-it-to-win-it Raider fan. In the company of Raider fans, they know that you are a Raider fan. They see it on your bumper. They see it in your house. They see it on your job, on your back. They know you're a Raider fan. But one day, you pop up with 49er gear on. Among all the Raider fans, you got your 49er cap on. You got your 49er jersey on. You walk around talking about, go 49ers! Creating confusion. Because I thought you was a Raiders fan. Is it getting plain to you? Because I know we got some sports fans. Sometimes we got the, I'm not a sports fan, but sometimes I got to throw in the sports analogies just for you to get it. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. If you with God, be with God. If you with the devil, be with the devil. Don't be sending mixed messages out there in the world. Talking about I'm taking his word to the world. Whose word are you taking to the world? God's or the devil? Because you walk out this church and decide you're going to have an attitude because you didn't like how somebody was driving, is taking the devil's word into the world. out. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Last week, God called us to deliverance. Was anybody here? He bound up and cast out the spirits of mediocrity and complacency. He said they do not have any place here. They are no longer welcome in this house. We had an awesome sermon that talked about the call to spiritual maturity, and yet there was not an increase in Bible study on Wednesday night. The same committed people, and I praise God for you, were there. What will it take to sink into your heart that it's not because I say it, it's because you need it? When is it going to sink in? Unclog your heart and allow the truth to come in. God says, we don't have time to trust in appearances. We have to trust in what he says and what he says alone. It's been 15 years, and every year has been significant in the eyes of God. He is moving us to a place where we will be able to be established. We won't have to move hither and yon just at the whim of somebody else's decision. Now we will be able to establish something, to lay down roots, to unpack our boxes and make a home for ourselves. We've been sleeping on somebody else's couch long enough. Now it's time for us to have our own. And you ought to be excited about what God is doing on behalf of this family. He said we can set up a campaign for spiritual growth and physical growth in the ministry. He said we can host dinners and have prayer breakfasts. We can change gospel gratitudes to Friday night. We can be there any day of the week, not just Sundays and Wednesdays. Can I get a hallelujah? Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of cramming everything we got to do on a Sunday or a Wednesday. He's given us freedom. We've been blessed with a miracle, but God says to whom much is given, much is required. And our charge is to take his word to the world. We have to be about the business of spreading the gospel and providing a space and a place for others to come in and find God for themselves. We are a church, and despite what the devil says, we will live and not die. God is calling us to have a challenge, or to accept a challenge that from this day, June 1st, 2014, to June 1st, 2015, our charge is to double our membership in 1 year, to go from 50 to 100 in a year. Do you believe that we can do it? Do you believe he's going to show us how to do it? You ought to be excited about the growth and the development of the ministry. He's challenging us to get more men in the church. Talk to the men in your life. Isn't that wonderful how he did that today? Somebody talked to some men in their lives and some men showed up today. Take that as your model. Talk to some men and get them in the family of God. Not because I said so, but because they need it. They need a relationship with Jesus for themselves. It's not enough for you to tell them how church was. You know, it's a lot of, what do you call them? What do they call them in the sports world? Couch quarterbacks, armchair quarterback. Yes, it's a whole lot of them in the family of God. They say, but they just want to hear about it or watch it. They don't want to come and participate in it. Those are the ones we're looking for, amen? Those are the ones we want to light a fire under and get them excited about who God is and what God can do for and through them. He's saying the time has come for us to rebuild, family. The latter house is going to be greater than the former house. He's providing us with what we need to teach, fellowship, break bread, and pray. The season of survival is over. God says it's time for you to thrive. I'm trying to tell you, God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Rebecca, Joseph, the God of Deborah, Jeremiah, and David, the God of Mary and Joseph, this same God who rescued you, who rescued his people, who parted the sea, who turned water into wine, who became flesh and made his dwelling among us, this God is speaking to this people this day. He's saying, get ready for your blessing. Get ready for your overflow. Get ready for exponential growth. He says, if you just do your part, I'm going to be happy to do my part, and we are going to together blow some minds all over this place. You ought to be excited about God today. You ought to be excited about what God is doing in this house today. Even though you may not have been doing your part, God is still doing his part. Even though you may not have rose up to where God wants you to be, God is still rising up in this house. And just because everything may not be perfect in your life doesn't mean that you shouldn't celebrate what's going on in the life of your ministry. Don't you know good fortune in this house will spill over to good fortune in your house? We are a family. And families stick together. Families forgive and keep moving forward. Families love unconditionally. Families fight and make up. Families look beyond faults to meet needs. Families have each other's backs. Families spend quality time with one another. And I'm here to tell you, if this is not how your family rolls, you ought to be happy that this is how your church family rolls. He said, rise up, son. Rise up, daughter. For what I have promised you is about to come. He said, I promised your land. I promised your buildings. And that's exactly what I'm providing. So, family, let's go as a family into the promised land that God has given to us. Now, I'm not saying this next move is going to be our final destination, but what I am saying is the place we've been waiting for and praying for the last 6 years. We have a reason to celebrate God. We have been faithful, and he kept his promise. God is a promise keeper. And no matter what they say, no matter what the devil says, no matter what my unbelieving family says, no matter what my friends say, you can't make me doubt him. There's nothing that anybody can say to me that would make me stop believing in who my God is, that would make me turn away from what I live for. I'm reminded of one of my favorite stories about this little girl with the polka dot dress. There was this father who took his little girl out fishing. And they were in a boat by themselves, and the boat sprang a leak. And they were too far away from the shore for the father to be able to carry the baby to shore. So father gave daughter instructions and told her to just float on your back till I get back. Remember how daddy taught you how to float? Just float till I get back. I'm going to come back with help for you, but I can't take you with me right now, but daddy is coming back. Okay, daddy, I'm going to float till you get back. I'm just going to be right here. I'm going to float till you get back. It took hours for him to go and to get the help and for them to send the helicopter. And they were in the helicopter, and by this time it was dark. They had the spotlight shining all over where he remembered the boat had sank. But how many of you know there's a current, and when the water moves, you move with the water. So the little girl wasn't where he left her because she was floating on her back wherever the current would lead her. Is anybody with me right now? I know some of you know the story, but act like you ain't never heard the story. And so they're looking for the little girl in the water, and they're making these big circles in the water trying to see where she is. And she's got this pink and black polka dot dress on that stands out, so the dad thought he would be able to see her, you know, really easily. And they couldn't see her. They couldn't see anybody. They couldn't see anything. So they expanded the search, and they widened the circle, and they continued to look out. They had the spotlight out on the water trying to find baby girl, trying to see where she is. And rescue and recovery people began to give up because it had been a long time. She was young. She was probably tired, and they were ready to chalk it up as a loss. They were ready to just, you know, start dragging the water the next day for her body. And the dad said, please, just one more time. Just expand the search. Just one more time. Just go out. And so they did it, but they didn't expect to find anything. They were just doing it to appease the father. And so when they expanded the search, they saw something way down there. They couldn't tell what it was, but it was something bobbing up and down in the water, just bobbing up and down. And so they began to fly closer to whatever that was bobbing up and down in the water. They still couldn't really make it out. They still couldn't really see what it was, but it was something different than anything they had seen in the other parts of the water. And the closer they got, they could see this black and pink polka dot dress. And they had given up hope on her being alive, so they were expecting to just, you know, maybe this was just her body that was floating in the water. And the closer they got to her, they saw that she was alive, and she was moving her mouth, and her eyes were open, and she was singing. And when they let out the rope ladders for the rescuer to go down and get her, he heard her singing, "You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him in my heart. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. You can't make me doubt him in my heart." That baby girl knew that her father was going to keep his word. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Whatever it is you might be going through, whatever storm you might be in, whatever water you might be floating in, you ought to be singing that song. You ought to be telling that devil. You ought to be letting the demons know, "You can't make me doubt him. No matter what you say, I believe. No matter what you do, I believe. I'm going to trust in my God. I know he's going to provide for me. He's going to come see about me. He's going to make a way for me. That's the God that I know." God said, "Stop acting like strangers and be a family. Stop acting like it's not your responsibility to get to know somebody, and make it your responsibility to get to know somebody. Stop sitting in the same seats every Sunday and sit next to somebody you never sat next to before. Get to know somebody. Get to fellowshipping with somebody. Ask somebody out to lunch. Get to praying with somebody. And know that if we keep what God has put out on this day, we're going to see new things happen in this ministry. But remember, the devil's going to try to make you doubt him. The devil's going to make you become a liar. The devil's going to try to have you looking like him. Decide whose teachings you are going to follow and make disciples for yourself. Because see, we all making disciples, but we all not making disciples for Christ. We got people following the wrong things in us. It's time for them to start following the right things. Might be time to get some new disciples. I'm going to ask everybody to stand all over the house right now. If you are able to, please stand.